expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will begin this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter number 12, the first three stanzas. Lord, rebuke me not in anger, chasten sore, I waste away, pity my distress, and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? Psalter number 12, we sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Can be found in the Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John, chapter 5, 1 John, 5, but first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you the first epistle of John, chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
We wish to especially remember in prayer this morning the mourning Debye family. Let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing upon his precious word. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We cannot take one breath. Our life depends upon thee, but also our spiritual life. Thou art the author and the finisher of faith. And so, Lord, as we begin together in this morning, on thy day, in thy house together as a congregation, may we together then bow our heads before thee and lift up our voices unto thee, that we may be together beggars at thy throne of grace, beseeching thee, begging thee, not only all things for our physical life, but also especially for our spiritual life. Lord, thou art the one who can take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Lord, it is thy work that sinners are born again by the power of thy Holy Spirit. And in this morning, when we listen to thy precious word and an explanation of it, we ask and beg thee, Lord, in thy mercy, that thou would gather with us. Lord, thou hast said in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Thou art faithful. And Lord, there's no reason in us, because we sin everything away. We have heard it on Thanksgiving, how thankless we are, but also how we are to live, how we are to come to thy house with hearts, with longing to praise thee. And Lord, thou knowest how we have come up. And so we beg and ask thee, Lord, to take reasons out of thy own self, as thou hast said in thy word, not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, wilt thou then give today a good day in thy house, that sinners would be born again, that those who are yet on that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction may be stopped, may be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, wilt thou then accompany thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit, that external call of thy word would become internal, that there may be life-giving, that dead sinners, spiritually dead, may be made alive, and that they may be turned from self, from world, from sin, from Satan, and turned unto thee. Wilt thou draw them to thyself then with the cords of love, and that then they will run after thee and have no rest until they find thee and can rest under thy wings. Lord, we do not only ask that sinners would be born again, but may we beg thee also those who have been born again, by the power of thy grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, those poor and needy ones, those ones burdened with sin, those that are hungering and thirsting for God, those poor in the spirit, who can find nothing in self and who do not dare claim anything, who fear and tremble, do I have the grace of God in me? Lord, we beg thee that from thy word this morning, when we may hear of the evidences of new life, the marks of grace, that thy dear people, the little lambs and the sheep, may by thy spirit receive assurance in their hearts, that they may be broken and humbled and bow in the dust before thee, adoring thee, worshiping thee, praising thee for such grace and mercy for such undeserving sinners. Lord, we beg thee then, help thy servant to preach. Give him the unction of the Holy Spirit. Fill his heart, fill his mind, fill his mouth with words, and that it may then go forth to be proclaimed among the congregation, and that it may be blessed. We pray that there may be much prayer in the congregation for the sinner on the pulpit, but also for each other, that we may be a congregation with love for one another, that we may carry one another's burdens, that we may pray for one another, not only for all the needs in this life, but also for one another's soul. Lord, thou hast again spoken in the past week as a dear brother, a father, a husband has been taken away, and tomorrow then his body will be laid in the grave, that resting place, that place until thou wilt return, and then all will rise again. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember that family, the mourning family, comfort them. And Lord, thou art that only comforter. Man is poor, we cannot comfort each other. But wilt thou then use thy word to comfort them and bless thy word? May thy word be spoken and proclaimed around that open grave, not only death in Adam, but life in Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through thy dear Son. Lord, wilt thou teach us all through this call that we have no continuing city here below, but that we must be prepared to meet thee. Lord, we beg thee, prepare us, each one of us, for that moment of our own death, or that moment that thou wilt return and we must stand before thy throne. Oh, teach us those necessary lessons, that we are sin, that thou art that almighty God who can by no means clear the guilty, and we are guilty. But wilt thou also teach us through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit of that only way of reconciliation, of that only way that unrighteous ones can be righteous in thy sight, of that only way of forgiveness of sins and the cleansing in thy all-atoning blood. Lord, richly bless thy word here in thy house, but in our homes. Bless it, Lord, for the coming of thy kingdom, to the new birth of sinners, but also to the edification of thy dear people. May we lay before thee also all mission work, Lord. Bless it richly, wherever thy word may be proclaimed throughout the world, in the established churches, but also especially wherever thy word may be proclaimed in different countries. Lord, and may it continue that those who have never heard of thy word may yet hear thy word. Those who have never heard of sin may hear of sin, but also those who have never heard of a Savior, of that precious name, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to seek and save sinners, that they may hear of him, that they may be drawn unto him, and that by thy grace they may be made sheep of the Good Shepherd. Lord, remember also the Bolivian people. Work among them irresistibly, mightily, powerfully. Teach them, lead them, guide them by thy word and spirit, Lord. Remember the church workers, their help, each one and their families. Remember the elders, the deacons, also thy servant, their pastor, Marco. Lord, care for them. Give them grace. Bless thy word richly, that they may be used as instruments in thy hands. Remember also the mission board with all their responsibilities. O Lord, we beg thee, guide them by thy spirit and by thy word. Lord, this morning we will also have a collection, an offering for the student support fund. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast again given a student in our denomination. Remember him and his family, the instructors, help them. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word that we are to pray unto thee, the Lord of the harvest, that thou would thrust forth more into work, into thy vineyard. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, there's a great need through the whole world. Wilt thou then call and send and open doors and gladden us with thy wonderful, merciful deeds? But may we ask it also for our denomination. Lord, many of thy servants in our denomination are growing older. Some are experiencing the breaking down of the body and mind. And many vacant congregations. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us and call men who have thy grace, and that thou would thrust them forth with nothing in self, but that they must say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Lord, we are unworthy. We sin it all away, but we beg thee for the coming generation, for the children, but also especially for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, remember the sick and afflicted. Care for them. Bless the means they may take, those who could not come to thy house to gather with us, and who may be listening along through the means thou hast given. Lord, in their homes, may they receive a blessing. Remember all those who are mourning. Lord, comfort them. Teach us of that only true comfort in life and in death, and that is that I do not belong to myself, but that I belong unto that faithful Savior who has paid for my sin, who has purchased with his precious blood. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We have no rights, Lord. We sin everything away. We are corrupt, polluted, unrighteous. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would look upon us, that thou would hear us and answer us through him who is sitting at thy right hand, that advocate, that precious interceder, that ever living, thanking, and praying high priest, thy dear son, we plead upon his merits. For Jesus' sake, amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing from Psalter 69, the first five stanzas. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. Psalter 69, the first five stanzas in the collection today will be for the church and for the Student Support Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ was well known for his miracles. He did many great miracles. What is his greatest miracle that he has done? Maybe you say that he raised Lazarus from the death. He was dead for 4 days and he was decaying. That was a great miracle. But there's a greater miracle. A miracle that you and I need. What is that great miracle? That we're born again. That's the essential greatest miracle that you need in your life, that you're made alive. Everyone here needs that, from the youngest to the oldest, without any exception. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The reality today in the world, and I look just within all the churches in the world, many profess Jesus Christ, but have never been born again. Many, sad to say, read their Bibles, go to church, and maybe even participate in the Lord's Supper, but they are not born again. Sadly, this essential truth that man must be born again is neglected in many churches. It's never preached, it's never talked about, it's never heard. Many are in the church, but not in Christ. They profess Christ, but they do not possess Christ. This was the reality in the time of the Apostle Paul. He wrote John 3. But also in his epistle, he emphasized this need many times. I will share a few verses with you before we come to our text. 1 John 2, verse 29. "If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." 1 John 3, verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." 1 John 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." May I ask you a personal question, children, teenagers, older ones? Are you born of God? Are you born again? Do you have the marks, the evidences of being born again? Do you desire to live righteous? Do you desire to fight against sin? And do you have love? Yes, love, true love for your, in the family of God, for your brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ, is a mark of true saving faith, a mark of being born again. No love? You need to question yourself whether you're born again. So with the help of the Lord this morning, we would like to proclaim his word from 1 John 5, verse 1 through 3. So our text this morning is from 1 John 5, the first three verses. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So the theme this morning is born of God. Three thoughts. Born of God, what does it mean? Children, you've heard it. You need a new heart. You've heard the term regeneration. What does it mean? Older ones, adults, what does it mean to be born of God? Second, born of God, who's the author? Who's the author? Is it man and God? Or is it man and the church? Who's the author? It's God, and God alone. And born of God, we will consider the evidences, There's evidences. There's many evidences in the Bible. But especially we will focus on some through the sermon. And at the end we will emphasize and speak on the evidences that John gives in these three verses. So born of God. What does it mean? Who's the author? And what are the evidences? Friends, when the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," what was the reaction of Nicodemus? He didn't understand. He was absolutely perplexed. He didn't understand it at all. We read in John 3, verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" I remember once that I was in a hospital, and there was three other men in my room, and we spoke. And I mentioned about being born again, and one of the men answered exactly as Nicodemus. He absolutely didn't understand it all. He said, "That's impossible. I need to go into my mother again to be born again?" Children, do you know what it's to be born again? Teenagers, adults, we say that, but do we know what does it mean to be born again? To be born of God. Born of God is what we call regeneration. It's called receiving a new heart. It's being born from above. It's being made spiritually alive. We're born spiritually dead. Yes, we're physically alive, but spiritually dead. And regeneration is making spiritually alive, as we read in Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened," which means brought to life, "who were dead in trespasses in sins." To be born again means to receive new life, spiritual life, life that did not exist before. This new life is a spiritual life which is given by God. Before a sinner is born again, he's physically alive, but he's spiritually dead. That's not only for true that those that live in notorious sins in the world, for example, as the prodigal, he needed to be born again, but it's also for those in the church. It's also for Pharisees, those who are very self-righteous, like Paul. So whether you're in the world or whether you're in the church, you need the same thing. There is no spiritual life without being born of God. What does it mean? It's not just an exterior reformation that I change this in my life, I change that in my life, I don't go to parties on the weekends anymore, I don't go to the bar, for example, or I don't watch movies from Netflix anymore, I cut that all off. That's good. If you're doing it, cut it all off. It's not just an exterior reformation. It's an interior renovation, a radical renewal. And when that radical renewal truly takes place, when you're born of God, then the exterior should change. It should and it must. My friends, you need to be born again. You were physically born, but you need a spiritual birth. You need to be born of God. The Lord Jesus taught Nicodemus to be born again. And with this term, we can learn by comparing it, what is it to be physically born, to what it is to be spiritually born. There's some lessons, some things that we can understand what it is to be born again. In the physical birth, in the mother, God creates a complete new life that did not exist before. New life begins. There's a heart, there's a mind, affections, a head, ears, toes, a whole body. A whole body. Where there was no life in the womb, by God's great, wonderful works in creation, there's new life. And now in the comparison in spiritual life, to be born of God is to be birthed by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual life begins in the life of a sinner by the work of God. Before this work of grace, there was no spiritual life. There may be some spiritual feelings. Yes, there may be some spiritual feelings from common grace, but there is no true spiritual life. As there was no life in the womb without God's wonderful work, there is no life in the soul without God's wonderful work of grace. In regeneration, the whole person is affected. As God creates a new life in the womb, in creation, God recreates a new life, an entire new being. The mind is renewed. There's new thoughts. Before, you thought yourself very righteous, possibly, but now you think of yourself because you learn you're unrighteous. You have new thoughts about sin, new thoughts about the world, new thoughts about your neighbor, new thoughts about God, new thoughts about his word, and new thoughts for the first time of Jesus Christ. The heart is renewed. The will is renewed. It's no more what my will is, but what is thy will, Lord. The affections are renewed. What you loved before, you now hate. And what you hated before, now you begin to love. You love sin, but now you hate it. And you hate God by nature, but now you begin to hunger and thirst for God. They receive new ears to hear things new that they never heard before. Maybe they heard it their whole life, but it becomes completely new. They hear new truths. They receive new spiritual eyes to say. Their eyes are opened and they see who they are. They see who God is. They see sin by the law, and they see also through the word of God, by the gospel, that only way of salvation. They receive new hands, spiritually speaking, which results in them serving the Lord. They receive new feet, spiritually speaking, to walk in the ways of the Lord. They're not only hearers, but they become doers. Doers. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I would like to make some statements or use some words to explain what it is to be born of God, what it is to be born again. It's instantaneous. That means it's not a process of time where they slowly get life. No, it's instantaneous. It's in a moment, children. By the power of God, they're born again. Maybe there's a question. Do all those who are born again know the exact moment when they are born again? What do you think? No, they don't. They don't. Does it really matter? Is it important? No. What's important, congregation? What's important? Is it true? Is it true? And how do we know if it's true? By the evidences which we will speak in the last thought. Are you born of God? Have you been born again? The new birth is radical. That means it includes bringing life into your soul. There was no life in the soul before, but now there's life. It's a change from spiritual death to spiritual life. What a change. By being born of God, he or she becomes a new creature, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Born of God. It's comprehensive. It means it includes the whole being. Not just part, three quarters, 90%. No, it affects the whole being, the whole person. His mind is affected. His affections, his will, his whole being. And as this being born of God affects the whole being, it affects the whole life. It affects how you live as a father. It affects how you live as a mother. It affects how you live as a child. It affects how you live as a teenager. It affects how you live single. It affects how you talk at work, how you study, and how you talk at university. It affects how you think, how you feel. It's in every area of your life. It's internal. It's not external. No, it's internal. Yes, we can change some things in our life. We can tame a lion. Yeah, they've tried that. They can tame a lion, but a lion still has a lion's heart. Man needs his heart renewed. It's an eternal work of God. A sinner needs to be born again, born by God. And God has the power to do that. God takes away hearts of stone and gives a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart of stone. There's no life in it. There's no life in a stone. There's only death. There's no repentance. There's no faith. There's no confession. There's no sorrow. There's nothing. It's all death, hard, no life. But that new heart of flesh, that new heart, it begins to feel things it never felt before, understand things it never understood before, and a multitude of other things. They begin to truly sorrow over sin. And they begin to hunger and thirst for God. Listen to what we read in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What will be the result? What do we read a little further in that same chapter, congregation? Some very strong words. You know what? And you shall begin to loathe yourself. Loathe yourself. That's a very strong word. You will become disgusted with what you have done and who you are because of all your iniquities. Is there sinners here this morning that have begun to loathe themselves? What you have done in the past? Oh, if they would know, they would probably kick me out of this church. No, you won't. Sinners are welcome. But in your feelings, you feel so absolutely horrible. How could I have ever lived so absolutely ungodly and done such evil things, not only to other people, but to God? Is that your heart? Is that your heart? Is that my heart? That we begin to loathe ourselves because of our sin, because of our iniquity. That's good, my friend. I hope you become to loathe yourself. That's a mark of grace. Loving yourself and what you all did and have done and accomplished is not a mark of grace. But being sorrowful because of your sin, that's a mark of grace. It's also eternal. It's eternal. When this begins in your life, it will never ever change. Why? Because it's of God, through God, to God, and He keeps it. It will never change. Where God begins in the heart of a little boy, a girl, a man, a woman, a teenager, adults, when He takes hold of that heart, He will never, ever leave, never forsake that person. They may feel forsaken, and they have much to learn, but it's eternal. Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, will never forsake one of His dear, beloved sheep. Paul knew this, and this comforted Paul. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Has God begun in you? Is that your question this morning? Has God begun in me? Oh, if I could only see a little light on my soul that He had begun, then I'd have a little joy, then I'd have a little comfort. That's my prayer this morning. Not only through the preaching of the necessity of this, of that sinners this morning would be born again in Cortland. What a wonder that many would be born again here in Cortland. That's my prayer. That's my longing this whole week. That sinners in Cortland would be born again. He has the power. But also that those poor sinners that can't see it anymore, that they may hear it this morning through the word of God, that He has begun for His glory, for His honor. Born of God, it's also essential. My friend, you cannot miss this work. You cannot. You need it. The Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Without being born again, we are lost, congregation. Absolutely lost. J.C. Ryle said, listen, Human nature is so entirely corrupt, diseased, and ruined by the fall, that all who would be saved must be born again. No lesser change will suffice. They need nothing less than a new birth, born of God. It's instantaneous. It's not a process. It's a moment. It's radical. It brings from spiritual death to life. It's comprehensive. It includes the whole being. It's eternal. It's in the heart. It's not in the head. It's eternal, not only internal, it's forever. And it's essential, my friend. Have you been born again by God's grace? The greatest thing that can happen to you, the greatest miracle that you need, is a new birth. And the worst thing that can happen in your life is that you're not born again. I do not ask you this morning if you go to church. I do not ask you this morning if you're a member of this church. I do not ask you if you have a Bible study. I do not ask you if you can explain many things. And you can do all kinds of things. I'm not even going to ask you if you go to the Lord's Supper. The question this morning from my sender is, are you born again? Who does this great work? Does man have a little part in this? In God, a big part? Man and God cooperate together to a new birth? Who's the author? This brings us to our second thought. In this point, this is the hope. Man, nothing. God, all things. The Lord Jesus did many miracles. He has done this miracle from the very beginning, since Adam fell, and he will continue this great miracle unto the ends of the earth. Totally depraved sinners, enemies, are brought to life. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Notice, we do not read, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of man. No, we don't read that. We also do not read, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of man and of God. No. And we do not read, whosoever is born of God or born again is born of the church, or born of a pastor, or etc., etc., a father, a mother. No. There's only one active agent in the new birth, and that is God. Man receives it. Is he passive or is he active? Not active in the act of regeneration. He's actually resisting it. What a great miracle. When God created Adam and he formed him with his hands out of the dust, that dust did not resist at all. But man, you and me by nature, we resist this. But God has the irresistible power to give new life. Man is not born of himself, of anything of self. Man is born of God. Children, your mother gave birth to you, right? Gave birth to you. What part did you have in your birth? What did you do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Your mother gave birth. You did nothing. You had no part in it. Absolutely not. God created you in your mother, and your mother gave birth. Your mother labored to give birth to you. But you had no part in it. So it is spiritually in regeneration. No sinner has the power nor the willingness to be born again. But God, by the irresistible power of his grace, works in sinners and makes them alive. God breathed life into Adam. You see that man formed under the dust? And he breathed life into him. And man became living. And what happened in Adam, we need that spiritually. Not literally, but spiritually. We need that spiritual life in us to have spiritual life. Regeneration. The new birth. A new heart is the work of God. God is the author. What do you think about the following statement? Listen closely. Repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ results in regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Is this true? Is this true? Is this true? A dead sinner, a totally depraved sinner, repents and believes, and by this is regenerated by the Holy Spirit? If this is true, we're all lost, congregation. There's no hope. This is a backward statement. It's not true. It's not true at all. It's false. What occurs first? Regeneration or repentance and faith? What can a spiritually dead sinner do? What can he do? Nothing but stink. Yes, nothing but stink. Not one spiritually dead sinner will repent or believe without being first born a God, born again. Let us read that text again. 1 John 5 verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And when you study the verbs in this tense, and I'm not going to get into those details now, it's not important. But when you study the verbs in this text, this verse can be written the following way. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. This puts to death all that false Arminian doctrine, that repentance of sin and faith that man does of his own will results in regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Man is not regenerated because he repents and believes by his own will. Man is regenerated, made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the grace received does repent and does believe. But by the grace received, God, and God alone, is the author of regeneration. And in regeneration, man is made alive. And he does repent. He does believe. He does come to accept Christ with his whole heart. Read the canons of Dort. He does. But by the grace received, this doctrine glorifies God, and God alone is the author of life. And this gives hope. This gives hope. There is no hope in evangelism. There is no hope in mission work. There is no hope in preaching without God being the author of grace and of new life. This gives hope to maybe a son, a daughter, that was maybe with you in your same bench in church for many years, but now has gone way into the world, far away, doesn't want to hear anything of it evermore. Or a brother, a sister, or a father, or a mother. God is the author of regeneration. God has the power to convert hopeless, lost, dead, rebellious sinners. But maybe you say, I want more proof. I want more proof. Is it really God is the author? Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1. And we'll study a few verses in this chapter. John chapter 1. The preaching of the gospel with the command to repent and believe always causes rejection or acceptance. Listen. We read in verse 11, many hear the promise of the gospel with the command to repent and believe, but many only reject it and others receive it. Let's read now John 1 verse 11. He came unto his own and his own received him not. This is their guilt. And by nature, all we will do is reject Christ. It's not the fault of God, nor the call of the gospel. It's our guilt. John 1 verse 12 now. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. May I ask you, are you still rejecting, resisting God, Jesus Christ, that Savior you want to be king in your life? Maybe willing to follow in certain things, willing to cut off certain sins, but not wholehearted surrendering. I must tell you this morning, you are not born of God. You are still spiritually dead. Or, by God's grace, have you truly believed in Jesus Christ and are believing Him with true saving faith as a lost, guilty, helpless sinner, looking unto Him as the only one who can help such a wretch as you? If this is true, I must tell you, from the Word of God, you are born again. Now the great question, why? Why? Why do some truly believe? Why do some, as we read in John 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name? Why? How? Who's the author? Let's read verse 13 now. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John answers the question, how and why? Not of man. Nothing in man. He gives three negatives, and he ends with one positive. Which were not born of, not of blood. Which were born not of blood. You will never be born again because your father was. You will never be born again because your mother was, or your grandfather, or a great-grandfather, no matter who he was. Your father may be born again, but are you born again? Your father or your mother may not be born again, but are you born again? That's the question. Are you born of God? Child of God, how were you not born again? Nothing to do with blood, nothing to do with a father, a mother, or a grandfather. And how will you be born again, sinners, by the grace of God? Nothing to do with blood, no matter who you are. He has the power to make dead sinners alive. The second negative, nor of the will of the flesh. You're not born again because of your own efforts or your own work. Nothing. Not at all. The flesh can only produce flesh. The flesh is carnal, and it cannot produce regeneration. John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The birth of God is not dependent on the efforts of man or of the flesh, but it's dependent entirely on the free and sovereign grace of God. The next negative, nor of the will of man, not by blood, not by flesh, not by the efforts of flesh, nor of the will of man. The natural man is a little sick. No, he's dead. He's depraved. What is the condition of man, his will after the fall? The will after the fall is in bondage of sin and Satan. In bondage of sin and Satan and God. God needs to renew that will. No man. By his own will. No natural man in bondage to the will of sin and Satan. He does not have any desire, or he has no ability to receive and to believe with his whole heart in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Man's will needs to be radically renewed because by nature it's only enmity against that only way of salvation. The birth of God is not dependent upon man, not upon blood, not upon flesh, not upon will, but it's utterly and completely dependent on the free and sovereign grace of God. That gives hope. That gives hope, congregation, because God can renew your heart. God can make you alive. No man, you can't, but he can. You must be born again. We are either spiritually dead or we are spiritually alive. There's no neutral ground. My friend, are you born again? Without this new birth, we are in the family of Satan. And tonight we will hear about a father, a heavenly father. My friend, you who are not born again, you still belong to that wicked, horrible, evil, sinful, lying father, Satan. Sinners are born again by the power of God. Colossians 1 verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God is the author. And God alone, born of God. Regeneration is a work of God's. Do not marvel about this truth, the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said in John 3 verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Are you born again? You say, how can I know? I want to know this morning. How can I know if I'm born again? Is there evidence? There's evidence. And so we will go to our third thought, but let us first sing now from Psalter 141, the first three stanzas. Psalter 141, the first three stanzas. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. Psalter 141, the first three stanzas. My friend, is your question, how may I know? I want to know this morning whether I'm born again, whether I have received in my heart, in my life, that wonderful one-sided work of the grace, the free and sovereign grace of God, whether I was made alive. Is there evidence? Yes, there is. When there's new life, there's evidence. For example, when a baby is born, what's the evidence that there is life? When that baby cries, that's a sweet sound to parents. When the baby is born, then that baby cries. Those born again sinners begin to cry. They cry unto the Almighty God for everything they need for their soul. Those who receive the greatest miracle in their life, they're brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. They have evidences in their life that they may know from the Word of God, because they cannot trust their hearts. Our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, but we can trust the Word of God, which explains those who have the grace of God. We're not called to inquisitively pry into those secret things of God. For example, whether my name is written in the book of life. You cannot. The secret things belong unto God. But God has revealed things unto us through His words. In the Canons of Dort, read it at home. The first head, Article 12. Poor sinners, that they, with joy in their heart, with the question, am I one of God's true children? They read the scriptures and they see by the testimony of the Holy Spirit those true marks of grace. They see it with joy. Why? Because they read or they hear the description of a life of one who is born again. And then by God's Spirit, they have the testimony that they also know something of this in their life. And they may know, yes, I am one of those who have received new life. Congregation, the whole gospel, the epistle of John, was written for one emphasis. It's a dividing epistle. It separates the precious from the vile. It shows so many marks of those who are the almost but not altogether, to those who may live like a Christian but are not born again, between those who are altogether God's children who have been born again. Why did John write that? Why did God inspire to write this holy epistle? The whole emphasis of this whole epistle is in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Assurance of faith. God the Father, He wants His dear children to be assured of His everlasting love for them, so that they would live in this love, out of this love, for the glory and the honor of His name. And Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of His sheep, He wants to assure them of His eternal, faithful, never-changing love for them. And how does He assure them? Through the evidences, through the fruits, through the marks of grace which He has inspired His servants to write in the Word of God. And so, as I will mention from John, I've mentioned some marks already in the sermon, but as I mention them from these three verses, examine your own heart. Be like David. Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. And my prayer is, if you are an almost Christian, but not altogether, this morning you would be awakened. It's good. It's painful to lose everything, but it's good before you die and forever lost. But also you, poor sinner, You who don't dare give you any name, the least of all the saints, the least of all. It's possible for everyone else, but for me, that you may hear it from God's word, and that you may go home with a little comfort, a little rejoicing, that God has worked in me. What a blessing. So let us consider some of those evidences. What is the first evidence? Let's read the verse again. 5 verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So what's the first evidence? Faith in Jesus Christ. True and saving faith in Jesus Christ. John Calvin said, the most sure mark that ye may know that you belong to that eternal covenant, that eternal council of peace, is if there is that true saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that is why the canons of the Lord begin with that one. First, faith in Christ. Now, to describe faith can take many sermons. But my friend, do you believe not only the name, but in the person, in the being of the second person in the Trinity, in Jesus Christ? Have you learned about self? I'm one mass of sin. I'm unrighteous, lost, guilty before God. And you heard of him. You heard of his precious name, Jesus, Jehovah saves. You heard of that Lamb of God, and you were drawn to him. That you believe the record of God's, the Father, of his Son and his Word. And that you saw him by those eyes of faith, and your heart went out to him, that he would be mine. Maybe you cannot say he's mine, but do you long for that precious Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be your Savior? Because without him, you're lost, you're condemned, and that you cannot live without him. You need him. You need him to comfort you, to cleanse you, to wash you, to make you pure. Because in yourself, you have nothing. Has Jesus Christ become precious to you? More precious than anyone else? And if he has become precious, then you long to follow him. You long to obey him. You fight against sin. You fight against your own flesh. And you need him as a prophet to teach you. You need him as that priest to be that sacrifice for you. And you need him as that king to not only to initially conquer your heart, but to continually conform you to his image, to lead you, to guide you, to keep you, to protect you. Is there true saving faith in Jesus Christ? That's the question. And if it is true, you are born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Spurgeon says, listen, this faith, wherever it exists, is in every case, without exception, the gift of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. A man has never believed in Jesus Christ with true saving faith unless the Holy Spirit led him to do so. The Holy Spirit has wrought all our works in us, and faith too. Faith is too celestial, a grace to spring up in human nature until it is renewed. Faith in every believer is the gift of God. My friend, are you born again? Do you believe in the precious Lord Jesus Christ? What's the second evidence? Well, let's read 1 John 5 verse 1 again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him. What does that pronoun him refer to? Or I should say, who does it refer to? It refers to God. It refers to God. Man is born hating God, whether he's very religious or very notorious, but his heart is at enmity against God. but by the radical renewal of regeneration, love is poured into the heart and love flows out of the heart for God. They begin to love God. They begin to hate sin, and they begin to hate everything that God hates, and they begin to love everything that God loves. There's a hungering and a thirsting for God. They long for his favor. Children, you like the favor of your parents, right? You long to have a smile from your mother. You can't live without love from your father or mother. But God's children, they long for his love. They long for his favor. They long communion with God. They desire to live for his glory. My friend, are you born again? Are you born of God? Is there love in your heart? Is there love in the profound depth of your heart for God? Or not? Are you still in enmity? Complete enmity. Living according to your flesh. Living in the world. Living according to sin and enjoying it. The third evidence is also in 1 John 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. And I say that in my own words. Born of him. Those who are born again also love those who are born of God. What does that mean? They love those who are also in the family of God. And maybe we're not used to these terms. They begin to love their brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what it is. They're a family. God is the Father. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And all those who are born again are in one family. They have one elder brother, Jesus Christ, and their brothers and sisters in that family. Children, you have the same father and mother. You're in the same family. But those who are born again are in a family, a new family. And they begin to love them. They begin to love them. They begin to love those who may they have strong differences with, but not essential of salvation. They love them. They begin to love Nigerians. They begin to love Bolivians. They begin to love Canadians. They begin to love Americans. They begin to love those who they find in jail. And they hear God has grace in their hearts. The work of grace is in their hearts. They begin to love each other. Congregation, we can speak about so many marks. It's good. But is there love? Is there love in our denomination? Is there love in our churches? Is there love between the brother ministers? Is there love between the consistory members? Is there love for the pastor, for the flock, for the flock, for the pastor? Is there love? We need love. We need to live with love. We need to express our love, show our love, because the world can see that's the life of the true family of God. How do we live? How do we testify? Do we speak each other? Gossip? Slander? Or is there love? Is there love? In that church in Trija, I can tell you, there was love. There was love. And they came from all different backgrounds. Not all from Dutch descent and reform. They came from all different areas. It was so beautiful to see all together in love. And I don't say they were all children of God, but they lived in love. It's beautiful. Is there love in our denomination? Is there love in our congregations? Is there love in our consistory? And I believe there is. But may it grow and grow and grow, that we may be a testimony to the world that this is the life of God. God is a God of love. 1 John 3 verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It doesn't say we love the brethren that we agree with. We just love the brethren. And now listen. Listen. He that loveth not his brother. That's not speaking of your brother and your family, children. I hope you love your brothers. I hope you do, children. You love your brothers. This is speaking about brothers. in the family of God. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Think about this mark of grace for a while. Think about it. Pray about it. Are you born again? Do you love God's dear children? What's the fourth mark? Do you love his commandments? 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And Jesus Christ said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. My friend, are you born again? Are you born of God? Is there faith, that true saving faith in the only Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah, no doubt in your heart, and that you need him? Without him, there's no way back to God. Without him, there's no reconciliation. Has he become for your soul the way back to God, to favor, to communion, to everything? Do you love God? Do you? Do you love his children? And do you love his commandments? Not just some. Not some. Oh, I don't want to talk about that one. No, all of them. All 10. Actually, the whole will of God, the whole Bible. Do you love the commandment, the will of God, my friend? The greatest thing to happen to you in this life is to be born of God. The worst thing is to not be born of God. And you, who must conclude now, I'm not born of God. I'm not born again. I send you home with a task. I send you home with a task. Go on your knees. Bow your knees. Fold your hands. And cry unto him and say, Almighty God, thou who hast created me for one purpose, and I'm a sinner. I heard this morning, I'm still in a state of death. But I also heard this morning that thou who art the Almighty God is the author. Thou hast the power. Lord, I have no rights. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me and give me a new heart. Give me that new life, and that I may live for thy honor and for thy glory. And you who I pray and hope by the assuring, comforting work of the Holy Spirit may know something of this. Go home. May you go home adoring him for that great grace and such an undeserving sinner. Go home meditating on what we can read from Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, he began. He can keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee, wilt thou work mightily, irresistibly, powerfully, that many, Lord, thou art a great God to convert all. We beg thee then that this congregation may be a congregation of born-again sinners. Work for thy honor, for thy glory, Lord, and for our salvation, and that the fruits may then be evidence that we live with love for thee, love for each other, that we live according to thy commandments, and that we have that true faith in thy dear Son, and that he becomes precious, that he becomes necessary, suitable, but that thy dear children may also grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. Lord, we deserve nothing but that thou would pass us by, but we beg thee for thy honor, for thy glory, look upon us in mercy. Help the brothers in teaching the catechism classes. Give also that there may be faithful attendance, prayerful attendance, and that thou would bless also these means. Keep us in this day. Give us a desire to keep thy day holy and to obey thy commandment of thy day. And bring us again together tonight to hear about that loving, giving Heavenly Father. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 427, 1 and 6. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness and say, exalt his majesty. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. 427, stanzas 1 and 6. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father with the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.